We should like to warn listeners that the following play is not suitable for those of a nervous disposition.
Oceania. Good morning, comrades. The time is 07:15. Getting up time, remember? Our brave workers have been in the factories for 2 hours already. Aren't you office workers ashamed? Come now, look sharp. We have great news for you this morning. But first, our PT. Come in, Gwenda.
If only I could switch it off.
3240 group. 3240 group, take your places, please. 3240 is ready. Now, let's see which of us can touch our toes. Right over from the hip, please, comrades. One, two. One, two. One, two. Anyone under 45 is perfectly capable of touching his toes. We don't all have the privilege of fighting in the front line, but at least we can all keep fit. Remember our boys on the Malabar front, and the sailors in the floating fortresses. Just think what they have to put up with. Smith! Smith, Line Smith! Winston! Here's you! I'm watching you as well as Big Brother. You can do better than that. You're not trying. Lower, please. Lower.
We present 1984, the novel by George Orwell, adapted for broadcasting by Eric Ewan.
And now the 0730 news for Friday the 4th of April. A news flash has just arrived from the Malabar front. Our forces in South India have won a glorious victory. This action may well bring the war within measurable distance of its end. Our troops have surrounded the main Eurasian armies. Over 400,000 have been killed, and the prisoners taken are still being counted. The latest figure gives 1,200,000. A monster parade is to take place on Sunday next in Victory Square at 19 hours. It is possible that Big Brother himself may be present. But that is not all, comrades. Today, the 4th of April, 1984, may well go down in history. This morning, yet another floating fortress was successfully anchored between the Faroe Islands and Iceland. But these victories cost money, comrades. And to obtain them, we had to sacrifice luxuries. As from Monday next, the chocolate ration will be cut from 30 grams to 20, and the tobacco ration from 120 grams to 100. That's all for the moment.
Who is that?
It's me, Mrs. Parton.
Coming.
Oh, Comrade Smith, I thought you hadn't gone out. Tom's gone, you see. Do you think you could come across and have a look at our kitchen sink? It's got blocked up and I...
Well, let's have a look at it.
Of course, it's only because Tom isn't home. You see, if Tom were home, he'd put it right in a jiff. He loves anything like that, says Tom. He's ever so good with his hands, Tom is. There, you see?
Yeah. You got a plunger?
What's that?
Oh, it doesn't matter. I can loosen the angle joint. Plumbing in these old buildings hasn't been looked at for years.
No.
Do you know when Victory Mansions was built?
Oh, I can't say I do.
Well, next time you come in, look up above the door, 1930. It's over 50 years ago.
It takes so long to get permission.
You got a spanner?
Oh, I think Peter's playing with it. I didn't want to disturb the children, you see. They haven't been out, and They're upset that Tom didn't take them to the hangings last night.
Well, I can't do anything without a spanner.
Oh, well, I'd better. Oh, I do hope they behave.
Peter? No! Come here!
Peter, go and get the spanner.
No.
Peter?
You wouldn't take me to the hanging.
Want to see the hanging. Want to see the hanging.
Your father had to go out collecting stubs for hate week.
Smitty and Goldstein in my book. Listen. In the old days, before a glorious revolution, London was not the beautiful city that we know today. It was a dark, dirty, miserable place where hardly anybody had enough to eat and where hundreds and thousands of poor people had no boots on their feet and not even a roof to sleep under. Children no older than you are had to work 12 hours a day for cruel masters who flogged them with whips if they worked too slowly and fed them on nothing but stale breadcrumbs and water. But in among all this terrible poverty...
Now, that's enough. Peter, go and get the spanner for Mr. Smith.
Shut up! Go on, Janie. Read about Smithy.
There were just a few great big beautiful houses that were lived in by rich men who had as many as 30 servants to look after them. These rich men were called capitalists. They were fat, ugly men with wicked faces, like the one in the picture on the opposite page.
Oh, show me. Show me.
Peter, bring me the spanner.
Can we see the hanging then, Ma?
Oh, I suppose so.
Promise?
Yes, I promise.
Then get it, please.
Oh, all right. But don't forget, you promised
me. Smitty, the traitor.
Oh, Jane, behave yourself, do.
He's a thought criminal, a Eurasian spy. I'll shoot him, I'll vaporize him, I'll send him to the salt mine.
Peter, don't throw it.
Get here, son. Talk.
Good boy. Now then, run along and play and close the door behind you.
Traitor!
Traitor!
Bye!
They haven't been out, you see.
Get a bucket. Mrs. Parsons is listening.
Oh, yes. Just a moment.
Thanks. There she goes.
And how to thank you, Thomas.
That's right, Mrs. Parsons. Children are a bit lively, aren't they?
Yes. I'd be a bit worried about Peter, but he's very musical, though. It's wonders they can do with a comb and a sheet of lavatory paper. Oh, that reminds me, the lavatory's blocked up.
Well,
no, I wouldn't hear of it, Comrade, but you might tell Tom if you see him in the canteen. He could sit back at lunchtime.
Yes, I'll tell him. That reminds me, Mrs. Parsons. When you do your hair, I wouldn't pick the comb over the sink. The hair's blocked it up.
Oh. Well, I'll try it. Remember, I'm always in such a hurry. You won't forget to tell Tom, will you, Cumbridge?
No, Mrs. Parsons. I won't forget.
You've got any razor blades?
No, not one. I tried all over the place. Stopped making them last year. We need the steel for the war, you know.
Hmm. Any buttons then?
No.
Bootlaces?
I'm wearing them.
Oh, well. Move on, old chap. The queue's moving. What's on?
Can't see. What day is it?
Friday.
What time is it?
You all right? It's 13:20.
Friday, 13:20. It's brown rummage and palace pie.
Goody. Keep moving. Oh,
all right. Keep your tray out of my back.
Oh, sorry, old chap. Did you go and see the prisoners hanged in the past last night?
No, I was working. I shall see it on the tricks, I suppose.
A very inadequate substitute. Oh, it was a good hanging. Oh, I do wish they wouldn't tie their feet together. I like to see them kicking. And above all, at the end, the tongue sticking right out and blue. Quite bright blue. That's the detail that appeals to me.
Yes.
Well, did I tell you that I once got a pass to see some tortures in the cellar of the Ministry of Love? Oh, now that was...
Ned, please. Come on,
quick, get in there.
There's no milk for your victory coffee. Agreed.
Yes, please, and cheese.
There you are, love. $2.25. Nick, please.
Come on, Mum. Hide it on. I'm starving.
Who do you think you are, big brother? You have the same as the next, cheese.
No harm, men, love. Next, move on, Winston. There's a table over there, under that telescreen. I know a girl who knows a man who works in Lillilop.
How's the dictionary getting on?
Slowly. I'm on the adjectives. It's fascinating.
Really?
You know, I don't think that... I don't think you have a real appreciation of new speak, Winston. Even when you write it, you're still thinking in old speak with all its vagueness and its useless shades of meaning. Now, come along. Come on. Sit it I do think, I dare say, that... Our chief job is inventing new words. Well, not a bit of it. We're destroying words, scores of them, hundreds of them, every day. We're cutting the language down to the bone. Of course, the great wastage is in the verbs and adjectives, but there are hundreds of nouns that can be got rid of as well. Take good, for instance. If you have a word like good, what need is there for a word like bad? Ungood would do just well.
Why not bad and unbad?
Because... And this is the whole point. This is what makes it fascinating. Every word, every single word has got to be judged by its value to society. It's not just a matter of linguistics. The destruction or retention of a word is a political, social, ethical, and even an economic decision. Well, that's why Big Brother's so interested. It's all his idea originally, huh?
I didn't know.
Oh, yes. The revolution will be complete when the language is perfect. Newspeak is Engsoc, and Engsoc is Newspeak. Now, don't you see that the whole aim of Newspeak is to narrow the range of thought? In the end, we shall make thought crime literally impossible. Because there'll be no words in which to express it.
But it'll take a long time.
Look, already in the 11th edition. We're not far from that point. By 2050, earlier probably, all real knowledge of old speak will have disappeared. The whole literature of the past would have been destroyed. Chaucer, Shakespeare, Milton, Byron would exist. Only Newspeak version. Ampleforth working on that now. Look at him over there.
Yeah.
Always got a nose. Stuck in the book.
Who's that girl beside him? I've seen her before.
Hmm? A dark-haired one. It's not beside him. There's nowhere else to sit. She's the secretary of the Junior Anti-Sex League.
Oh? I thought...
Well, don't. She's a dedicated girl. No private life. Not that any of us have, thank PV. Every evening she's at it. Canvassing, lectures, posters, slogans, marches. Soaking, but she's allowed to work in Pornosec.
Pornosec?
No. You really must catch up, Winston, or you'll be in trouble. Muck House. A subsection of the fiction department of the Ministry of Truth turning out cheap pornography for distribution among the trolls. Keeps them happy. And all the... Spanking stories, one night at a girl's school, under a skirt and so on. All in sealed packets and bought furtively by proletarian youth under the impression that they're buying something illegal.
But a girl?
They're all girls in Pornosec, except the head of the department. Militant virgins. The theory is that men's sex instincts are less controllable than those of women, and they're in greater danger of being corrupted by the filth they handle.
Maybe something in there.
What? Here comes Parsons.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Parsons.
Shut up. What are you two talking about then? Something a bit too brainy for me, I think. Smithy, old one. I'll tell you why I'm chasing you. You don't mind, Simon.
No, Carl.
It's that sub, Smithy, you forgot to give me.
Which sub is that? There's so many.
The sub for Heat Week, you know, the house-by-house fund. I'm treasurer for our block. We're making an all-house effort. You're going to put on a tremendous show. I tell you, it won't be my fault if old Victory mentions that they have the biggest outfit of flags in the whole street.
Why, I remember, Parsons. Your wife told me to tell you the lavatory's blocked up.
Oh, now, old chap. I know we're all a bit pushed, but don't try and change the subject.
No, it's true. She'd like you to slip back and fix it before the afternoon shift.
$2 you promised me, Winston.
Don't forget the lav.
Thank you very much. I hear that little beggar of mine let fly at you with his catapult yesterday. I gave him a good dressing down for it. In fact, I told him I'd take the catapult away if he does it again.
I think he's a little upset you didn't take him to see the executions in the park.
Well, I mean to say, it shows the right spirit, doesn't it? Mischievous little beggars, they are, both of them. But talk about keenness. All they think about is the spine and the wolf, of course.
What for it? The telly screen's lit up.
Comrades. Attention, comrades. We have glorious news for you. We have won the battle for production. Returns now completed of the output of all classes of consumption goods show that the standard of living has risen by no less than 20% over the past year. All over Airstrip 1 this morning, there were irrepressible, spontaneous demonstrations when workers marched out of factories and offices and paraded through the streets with banners, voicing their gratitude to Big Brother for the new, happy life which his wise leadership has bestowed upon us. The first results, which will be effective as from tomorrow morning, are that the tobacco ration is increased to 100 grams a week,
what?
And the chocolate ration to 20 grams a week. That's all, comrades.
The Ministry of Plenty has certainly done a good job this year. Oh, Smithy, old boy, I don't suppose you've got any razor blades you can let me have?
I'm sorry, I've been using the same one all the year. You can edge them up on glass now.
Oh, I just thought I'd ask. Well, 10 hour now. I've also got some more subs to collect. There's only 12 more days to Hate Week.
Oh, thank BB, I haven't him for a neighbor. How do you stand it?
Sime?
Yes, sir.
Am I mad?
Really, you do say.
You heard that announcement about the tobacco ration just now.
I'm not dead.
And the chocolate?
And the chocolate. Now, look here.
You heard the early news this morning. The 07:30.
I should think so. What a victory. Calls for a celebration. Let's have a victory.
No, wait. Then you heard what came after about chocolate and tobacco.
Look here, Smith. You know damn well that only members of the inner party can turn their telescreens off. We outers hear everything. If we're at home, that is.
Then what did it say?
I thought you looked a bit peaky this morning, not knowing the time of day or anything.
What did it say?
You've just heard. Chocolate up to 20 grams, tobacco to 100.
No, this morning, earlier, 07:30.
Perhaps you'd better see Matron. You're sweating.
What did it say this morning?
Keep your voice down. Same, of course. Chocolate, 20 grams, tobacco, 100.
Cut down to.
Raise up.
But I heard it with my own ears.
Smith.
Saw it with my own eyes.
Smith. You wouldn't have these illusions if you took you speak seriously. Take my advice. Study it. Or you'll end up in trouble. I must get back. We'll have that gin later. Here, old chap. I hope you feel better.
Minority of one, am I? Is it possible that everyone in this canteen swallowed the lie about the tobacco and chocolate ration? Yes, they swallowed it. Parsons swallowed it easily with the stupidity of an animal. Sime, too, in some more complicated way involving doublethink, as he calls it. Sime swallowed it. That girl over there. The fanatical secretary of the Anti-Sex League. She swallowed it passionately with a furious desire to track down, denounce, and vaporize anyone who'd suggest that last week the chocolate ration had been 30 grams. Am I then alone in possessing a memory? In my work, in my department of the Ministry of Truth, rewriting the whole of history according to the party line, did they swallow it? Did they swallow it in rec-dep, the records department? Did they swallow it in thick-dep, in tele-dep? Ampleforth, the poet, did he swallow it? And would appear I am. What about O'Brien? That look the other morning during the break for the 2 minutes hate. Less than a second. I'm with you, he seemed to signal. I know precisely what you're feeling. I know all about your contempt, your hatred, your disgust. But don't worry, I'm on your side. That girl over there. Hockey fields, cold bars, community hikes. Ah, the women are the worst, the most bigoted, the swallowers of slogans, the amateur spies. But perhaps I'm not alone. Perhaps the rumors of vast underground conspiracies are true after all. Perhaps the Brotherhood really exists. Perhaps even Goldstein, the enemy of the people, really exists. Perhaps that girl, if she took off those dreary overalls, the scarlet sash, the dank turban, there'd be a beautiful body. Damn. Tobacco's fallen out. With only two left. Next issue's not till Tuesday. Black market tonight, East London. Was tobacco always like this? Was food always like this? Was life always like this? I'd like to meet the oldest man in Airstrip 1 and ask him, was it always like this?
1430, comrades. 1430. A good afternoon's work for our soldiers and sailors. Thank you.
I asked you civil enough, didn't I? You telling me you ain't got the bite mug in the old bleated boozer?
What in hell's name is that mine?
Oh, kick him! Calls himself a barman and don't know what a pint is. Why, a pint's the half of a quart and there's 4 quarts to the gallon. Have to teach you the ABC next.
Never heard of him. Liter and a half liter, that's all we serve. There's the glasses on the shelf in front of you.
I like a pint. You could draw me off a pint easy enough. We didn't have these bleating liters when I was a young man.
Yeah. When you were a young man, mate, we were all living in the treetops. Can I offer you a drink?
Hey, you're a jest. Pint.
Pint a wallop. Put 2 halves into a large pint. I'll have the same.
They don't understand nothing, these youngsters. Half liter ain't enough. They don't satisfy. And a whole liter's too much. Shorts me blood a running, let alone the price.
Take our drink over in that corner. $2.50, and next time he drinks like everyone else. Come on, Pop. Excuse me. I'll carry them over. There we are. You must have seen great changes since you were a young man.
Cheers.
Cheers. You're very much older than I am, aren't you, old chap?
Yes.
You must have been a grown man before I was born. You can remember what it was like in the old days before the revolution.
Yes.
People of my age don't really know anything about those times. It's as if they had abolished the past. You can only read about them in books. What it says in books may not be true. I should like your opinion on that.
Oh, yes. Cheers.
The history books say that life before the revolution was completely different from what it is now. Every capitalist went about with a gang of lackeys.
Lackeys? Now, there's a word I ain't heard for ever so long. Lackeys. That really takes me back, that does. I recollect. Oh, don't be easy.
No.
I used to go sometimes to Hyde Park every Sunday afternoon to hear the blokes making speeches.
What I really wanted to know is this. Do you feel that you have more freedom now than you had in those days? Are you treated more like a human being? In the old days, the rich people, the people at the top.
The House of Lords.
The House of Lords, but I... What I'm asking is, were these people able to treat you as an inferior simply because they were rich and you were poor? Was it usual for these people and their servants to push you off the pavement into the gutter?
One of them pushed me once.
He did?
I recollect it as if it was yesterday. It was boat race night. Terrible rowdy he used to get on boat race night. And I bumped into a young bloke on Shaftesbury Avenue. Quite a gent he was. Fish shirt, top hat, black overcoat. He was kind of zigzagging across the pavement, and I pops it to him accidental-like.
Well, look.
And if you believe me, he puts his hand on my chest and gives me a shove and split in here and sent me under the wheels of a bus. Well, I was young in 50s, and I was going to have fetched him
one of them. I made myself clear. What I'm trying to say... What I'm trying to say is this. You've been alive for a very long time.
Yes.
Now, you've lived half your life before the revolution. 1926, for instance. You were already grown up.
1926, sir. 1926. Colonel won the Derby that year.
Yes, sir. Were there any labor's troubles that year? You know, strikes. Miners, trains, troops. 1926.
Jack Gorner won the National. That I do now.
No, no. What I mean is, would you say that life in 1926 was better than it is now, or worse?
Whoa.
If you could choose, would you prefer to live then or now?
I know what you expect me to say. You expect me to say is I'd sooner be young again. Most people say they'd sooner be young again. Most people say they'd sooner be young if you asked them.
No.
You've got your health and strength when you're young. When you get to my time of life, you ain't never well. I suffer something wicked from my feet. My bladder's just terrible. 6 and 7 times a night it has been out of bed. On the other end, there's great advantage in being an old man. You ain't got the same worries. No cut with women. That's a great thing. I ain't had a woman for near on 30 years, if you credited. Not what to do much more. Gonna fight me?
No, Fred. In fact, that's what I've come for. Do you know where I can get some black ones?
Got the cash?
Yes, I can pay.
10 times the price?
Yes.
And we must go to Charrington.
Charrington?
Not far from here, a couple of 100 yards. It's a very strange shop. Little bell rings when you open the door. And haven't seen one since I was a kid. Sells all sorts of junk. What we used to call antiques.
Antiques?
Yes, old things. You don't see them nowadays. More's a pity. Rocking chairs, cuckoo clocks.
Cuckoo clocks? What on earth are those?
Old Charrington will show you if you're interested. No one else is. All they want is fags and dope and dirty books.
How do I get them?
Easy as pie. You go out of here and turn left and then take a straight car.
Hello? Is anyone in?
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
I was just lighting up. These oil lamps give a beautiful light, but well, they do need looking after. There we are.
That Terry Russell?
Yes, yes, it suits my eyes better than the modern stuff. What can I do for you?
I'd like 20 cigarettes, please.
Certainly, sir. That'll be $10. Thank you. Anything else? Would you like to look around?
Well, I don't want anything else in particular.
Just as well, because I don't suppose I could have satisfied you. You see how it is. An empty shop, you might say. Between you and me, this trade's about finished. No demand any longer. No stock either. Furniture, china, glass, all been broken up by degrees. And, of course, the metal stuff's been melted down to the wall. I haven't seen a brass candlestick in years. So do have a look round, sir.
Well, thank you. What's this?
Where? Ah, yes. You've got an eye for beautiful things. It's a paperweight. You lift it. It's heavier than you think.
It certainly is. Beautiful glass.
Like rain water, sir.
What's this inside? A rose?
That's coral, that is. Must have come from the Indian Ocean. They used to kind of embed it in the glass. And that wasn't made less than 100 years ago, or more by the look of it.
How much is it?
Oh, you can have it for $5. I can remember when a thing like that would have fetched £8, and £8 was... Well, I can't work it out, but it was a lot of money. Thank you, sir. Will I wrap it?
Oh, no, thanks. I'll put it in my pocket.
There's another room upstairs that you might care to take a look at. Not much in it. Just a few pieces.
I'd like to see them. Please.
This way, sir. I'll go ahead. We lived here till my wife died. I'm shoving the furniture off little by little, you know. Ah, here we are.
But there's no telescreen.
No, sir, we don't have to have them in these poorer districts. They're not worth watching, really, I suppose.
What on earth's that over there against the wall?
Well, that is called a four-poster. It's a double bed made of mahogany.
Bed?
Yes, it's a beautiful bed. At least as it would be if you would get the bugs out of the mattress. Come on, sit on it. Oh.
Wonderful room. Man could really be alone here. Fire in the grate, pipe, slippers. No sound but the ticking of the clock. Oh, I see, it's a 12-hour one.
That's the grandfather clock. It was made in 1782.
Over 200 years ago.
Still keeps time. You've seen one of these?
No, what is it?
Wait. Now, listen.
Oh. How much?
I'm afraid it's not for sale, sir.
But I want it. I'll give anything you ask.
I'm sorry, sir. It's not for sale. I'll tell you what, though. I've got an old print of the church.
The church? I don't know what...
Yes. Oranges and lemons, they say the bells of St. Clement.
Well, what do you mean?
Oranges and lemons, say the bells of St. Clement. That was a rhyme we had when I was a little boy. It goes on, I don't remember. I'll just go through these prints. I know it's here somewhere. It was a kind of dance. They held out their arms for you to pass under, and then they brought their arms down and caught you. It was just the names of churches. All the London churches were in it. All the principal ones, that is. Ah, here we are.
But I know that building. It's a ruin now. It's in the middle of the street outside the Palace of Justice.
That's right, outside the law courts. It was bombed in, many years ago. It's the church at one time. St. Clement Dane, its name was.
I never knew it had been a church.
Oh, a lot of them left, really, though they've been put to other uses. Now, how did that rhyme go? Oranges and lemons, say the bells of St. Clement's. I've got it. You owe me 5 farthings, say the bells of St. Martin's. There now. That's as far as I can get.
5 farthings?
A farthing, oh, that was a small copper coin. It looked something like a cent.
Where was St. Martin?
Oh, it's still standing. It's in Victory Square, opposite the statue of Big Brother, alongside the picture gallery.
That was a church?
Hmm.
I was at an exhibition there not long ago. There were scale models of rocket bombs and floating fortresses.
That's it. It used to be called St. Martin's in the Fields. Though I don't recollect any fields in those parts. Excuse me while I see who that is.
Yes, of course.
Sometimes I get special deliveries. I run a few sidelines, you see. Apart from cigarettes.
It's a girl. She followed me here. She must be a member of the Fall Police. Man had to wander through these streets and ask for trouble. I must kill her before she reports back. A bomb site. This is paperweight. Quick.
Easy. Take it easy.
I must go now.
The young lady gave me this. For you.
For me?
This envelope.
Oh.
Well, aren't you going to open it?
Yes, sir. Yes, I suppose I...
I don't suppose there is, but there could be. There's always a chance of one of those swine recognizing your voice. We're all right here.
Yes. We're all right here.
Yes, look at the trees. There's nothing big enough to hide a mic in.
Listen. Now that you've seen me close up, can you still bear to look at me?
Yes, easily.
I'm 39 years old. I've got varicose veins. I've got 5 false teeth.
I couldn't care less. Darling. All afternoon. Isn't this a splendid hideout? I found it when I got lost once on a community hike. If anyone was coming, you could hear them 100 meters away.
I don't know your name.
Julia Brown. I know yours. It's Winston Smith.
How did you find that out?
Oh, I expect I'm better at finding things out than you are. After all, I followed you that evening to Charrington, didn't I? Wasn't that clever? You shopped on my list, but I'd been there only a few days previously.
Oh, very clever. What are those books like?
Oh, ghastly rubbish. Tell me, what did you think of me before you got my note?
I hated the sight of you. I wanted to rape you and murder you after. Just before I got your note, I was about to follow you into the street and bash your head in. If you really want to know, I imagine you had something to do with the Thought Police.
Oh, no. Not the Thought Police. Oh, you didn't honestly think that.
Well, general appearance. Merely because you're young and fresh and healthy, you understand.
You thought I was a good party member. Pure in word and deed. Banners, processions, slogans, games, community hikes, all that stuff.
Yes.
And you thought that if I had a quarter of a chance, I'd denounce you as a thought criminal and get you killed off.
Yes, something of that kind. Well, a great many young girls are like that, you know.
Yes, it's this bloody chastity sash that does it. There. I'm out of uniform now.
Don't tear it. You'll need it later.
Actually, I am that sort of girl to look at.
You're sure you aren't fooling me? You see, I can hardly believe
No, darling, I'm not fooling you. I hate them. But you must conform. I'm good at games. I was a troop leader in the spies. I do voluntary work 3 evenings a week for the junior anti-sex league. Hours and hours I spent pacing their bloody rot all over London. I always carry well under a banner in processions. I always look cheerful and I never shirk anything. Always yell with the crowd. That's what I say. It's the only way to be safe.
Can we come here again?
Well, not for another month or two, of course.
Well, another month or two?
Well, I know other places.
What, indoors?
You must be mad. I don't want to die just yet. You don't know the party. Making children is allowed, but making love is the unforgivable sin. When you make love, you're using up energy. Afterwards, you feel happy and you don't give a damn about anything. They can't bear you to feel like that. They want you to be bursting with energy all the time. All this marching up and down and cheering and waving flags, it should be sex gone sour. You're happy inside yourself. Why should you get excited about Big Brother and 3-year plans and 2-minute hates and all the rest of their bloody rot?
I suppose you're right. I never thought of it like that. The sexual perversion produces hysteria, which can then be transformed into war fever and leader worship.
Well, I wouldn't know about that. I'm not as clever as you are. But I know what we're doing is dangerous. And to talk about doing it indoors, it's suicidal.
Julia, you know old Charrington.
Yes, he's a dear. After all, he did give me my note.
Well, there's a room above his shop which is like something out of a dream.
Where's the telescreen?
That's just it. There isn't one.
Are you sure?
Yes. Only Charrington would let it to us.
I suppose there's no harm in asking him, but be careful.
You'd come there with me?
Of course.
You're so very young. Mm. You're 10 or 15 years younger than I am. Well, what can you see to attract you in a man like me?
It was something in your face. I thought I'd take a chance. I'm good at spotting people who don't belong. As soon as I saw you, I knew you were against them.
Julia, do you know O'Brien?
Well, not to talk, sure, only to see in the canteen.
Well, I'm sure he's against them. It's a serious thing to rebel against the party. We need allies. We must find out if the Brotherhood exists. Would you come with me if I can contact O'Brien?
I would come.
Oh, I hoped you would.
Oh,
darling. Julia, have you done this before?
God. Hundreds of times. Well, scores, anyway.
The more men you've had, the more I love you. Do you understand
that? Yes, perfectly.
I hate purity. I hate goodness. I don't want any virtue to exist anywhere in this state. I want everyone to be corrupt to the bones.
Well, then I ought to suit you. I'm corrupt to the bones.
Nice doing. I don't simply mean me. I mean the thing itself.
Oh, I adore it.
Adore it. Love will come later. Here and now. This is a political act.
Well then, shall I say it, or will you?
I'll say it. That thing is really turned off.
Yes, we have that privilege in the inner party. Everything is turned off. We are alone. Except for my servant, Martin, who is getting us the drinks, and he is one of us.
We have come here because...
Yes? Go on.
Because we believe that there is some kind of conspiracy, some kind of secret organization working against the party and that you are involved in it. We want to join it and work for it. We're enemies of the party. We're thought criminals. We're also adulterers. I tell you this because we want to put ourselves at your mercy. If you want us to incriminate ourselves in any other way, we're ready.
Very well. Come in, Martin. Bring the drinks over here and put them on the round table. And bring a chair for yourself, Martin. This is business. You can stop being a servant for the next 10 minutes.
Thank you, comrade.
What on earth is this?
It is called wine, comrade. You will have read about it in books, no doubt. Not much of it gets to the outer party, I'm afraid. Well, I think it is fitting that we should begin by drinking a health. To our leader, to Emmanuel Goldstein.
Emmanuel Goldstein.
Then there is such a person.
Yes, there is such a person. And he is alive. Where, I do not know.
And the conspiracy, the organization, it is real. It's not simply an invention of the thought police.
No, it is real. The Brotherhood, we call it. You will never learn much more about the Brotherhood than that it exists and that you belong to it. I'll come back to that presently. It is unwise even for members of the inner party to turn off the telescreen for long periods. By the way, you ought not to have come here together.
Oh.
I'm sorry,
Will have to leave separately. The lady will leave first.
Right.
Now, you will understand that I must start by asking you certain questions.
Of course.
In general terms, what are you prepared to do?
Anything we're capable of.
You will both answer. You are prepared to give your lives?
Yes.
Yes.
You are prepared to commit murder?
Yes.
To commit acts of sabotage which may cause the deaths of innocent people?
Yes.
To betray your country to foreign powers?
Yes. Yes.
You are prepared to cheat, to forge, to blackmail, to corrupt the minds of children, to distribute habit-forming drugs, to encourage prostitution, to disseminate venereal diseases, to do anything which is likely to cause demoralization and weaken the power of the party?
Yes.
Yes.
You are prepared to lose your identity and live out the rest of your life as a waiter or a dock worker?
Yes.
Yes.
Are you prepared, the two of you, to separate and never see one another again?
No.
No, we're not.
You did well to tell me. It is necessary for us to know everything. Do you understand, comrade, that even if he survives, it may be as a different person?
I see.
We may be obliged to give him a new identity. His face, his movements, the shape of his hands, the color of his hair, even his voice could be different. And you yourself might have to become a different person. Our surgeons can alter people beyond recognition. Sometimes it is necessary. Sometimes we even amputate the limb. You understand?
Yes.
Yes.
Good. Then that is settled. You had better go back to your pantry, Martin. I shall switch on shortly and take a good look at these comrades' faces before you go. You will be seeing them again. I may not.
I will remember them, comrade.
Now, you understand that you will be fighting in the dark. You will receive orders and you will obey them without knowing why. You will have three or four contacts who will be renewed from time to time as they disappear. As this was your first contact, it will be preserved. When you receive orders, they will come from me. If we find it necessary to communicate with you, it will be done through Martin. When you are finally caught, you will confess. That is unavoidable. But you will have very little to confess, other than your own actions. Probably you will not even betray me. By that time, I may be dead, or I shall have become a different person with a different face.
We shall not betray each other.
Of course not. I would like to know how big the Brotherhood is.
If Goldstein himself fell into the hands of the Thought Police, he could not give them a complete list. No such list exists. I tell you that the Brotherhood exists, but I can't tell you whether it numbers 100 members or 10 million. But the Brotherhood cannot be wiped out, because it is not an organization in the ordinary sense. Nothing holds it together except an idea which is indestructible. You will never have anything to sustain you except the idea. You will work for a while, you will be caught, you will confess, and then you will die. These are the only results that you will ever see. There is no possibility that any perceptible change will happen within our own lifetime. Our only true life is in the future. We shall take part in it as handfuls of dust and splinters of bone. But how far away that future may be, there is no knowing. Maybe 1,000 years. At present, nothing is possible except to extend the area of sanity little by little. We cannot act collectively. We can only spread our knowledge outwards from individual to individual, generation after generation. In the face of the Thought Police, there's no other way. And now it's time for you to leave, comrade.
Right.
But there are details to be settled. I assume that you have a hiding place of some kind.
Yes, comrade. We have a room over a shop. It's in a poor district in the East End, and there's no telescreen.
Charrington, number 82 Woodville Road.
That will do for the moment. Later we will arrange something else for you. It's important to change one's hiding place frequently. Good, good. Martin will see you out. And don't look back. Goodbye. And now, comrades, finally, to become a full member of the Brotherhood, you must study our leader's book. From it, you will learn the true nature of the society we live in and the strategy by which we shall destroy it. There are not many copies in existence, as you can imagine. The Thought Police hunt them down and destroy them as fast as we can produce them. But you do not need the copy.
Well, why not? I must read it. I've searched ever since I first heard of it.
Have you a radio set?
Yes, a very old one.
Never mind. Does it work?
Yes, I don't use it very much.
You will use it daily from now on.
Daily?
Our leader has recorded his book in full, and it is broadcast continually by Radio Free Oceania. The wavelength is changed every week. This week, it is 1275 megacycles.
1275 megacycles, I remember. 1275.
Well, the decanter is still half full. What shall we toast this time, To the confusion of the Thought Police, to the death of Big Brother, to humanity, to the future.
No. To the past.
To the past.
Did you ever happen to hear an old rhyme that begins, "Oranges and lemons, say the bells of St. Clement"?
You owe me 5 farthings, say the bells of St. Martin's. When will you pay me, say the bells of Old Bailey?
You knew the next line.
That's as far as I know. And now I'm afraid it's time for you to leave also. Don't catch up with your friend in the street. There's plenty of time for you to be with her.
That an all-round increase in wealth threatened the destruction, indeed in some sense was the destruction, of a hierarchical society. If it once became general, wealth would confer no distinction. It was possible, no doubt, to imagine a society in which wealth, in the sense of personal possessions and luxuries, should be evenly distributed, while power remained in the hands of a small, privileged caste. But in practice, such a society could not long remain stable. In the long run, a hierarchical society was only possible on a basis of poverty and ignorance. The problem was how to keep the wheels of industry turning without increasing the real wealth of the world. Goods must be produced, but they must not be distributed. And in practice, the only way of achieving this was by continuous warfare. The essential act of war is destruction, and not necessarily of human lives, but of the products of human labor. In principle, the war effort always so planned as...
Just let me show you what I brought.
No, just a minute, I've got the leader.
After meeting the bare needs of the population. The consciousness of being at war, and therefore in danger, makes the handing over of all power to a small caste seem the natural, unavoidable condition of survival. It does not matter whether the war is actually happening, and since no decisive victory is possible for either of the three power groups, it does not matter whether the war is going well or badly. All that is needed is that a state of war should exist. None of the three superstates ever attempt...
Julia!
It's very good, darling, but I know it all. You can listen again sometime when I can't get here.
You know it all?
What are you saying? Yes. I never believed in the war. Don't think it's happening.
But the rocket bombs. Well, 30 a week on London alert, they happen. I was close to one on my way here.
Well, they could be fired by our own government just to keep people frightened. I believe they are.
You take my breath away. You're not supposed to be interested in politics.
I don't call that politics. It's just common sense. Oh, come on, look what I've got.
What you got?
Did you bring some of that filthy victory coffee?
Yeah, of course.
I thought you would. Well, you chuck it away again because we shan't be needing it. Here, look here.
But it's coffee.
It's real coffee. I haven't smelled it for years.
It's in our party coffee. There's a whole kilo here. Look at this.
It isn't sugar.
Real sugar, not saccharine, but sugar. And here's a loaf of bread, proper white bread, not our bloody stuff. Oh, I've got a little pot of jam.
Julia, how did you manage to get hold of all these
things? It's all in a party stuff. You know, there's nothing those swine don't have, nothing. Of course, the waiters and servants and people pinch things and... Oh, look. Got a little packet of tea as well.
Tea, not blackberry leaves.
No, it's real tea. But listen, yeah. Dear. I want you to turn your back on me. Go and sit on the other side of the bed. Now, don't turn round till I tell you.
All right.
That's funny. She usually undresses in front of me. Must have some reason. Soon we shall make love. Was it ever normal to live like this? A man, a woman, alone in a quiet room. Only the friendly ticking of a clock. Tea, coffee, bread, jam. Was this ever the ordinary, casual, usual way to live? Or had it always to be a conspiracy like this with risks that make a bed like a grave? Surely.
You can turn round now. Well?
You've painted your face. I thought
you... thought I'd be naked. No, darling. Powder, rouge, mascara.
Set to.
Synthetic violets, I'm afraid. And do you know what I'm going to do next?
You don't need to do anything. You look beautiful.
I'm going to get hold of a real woman's frock from somewhere and wear it instead of these bloody trousers. I'll wear silk stockings and high-heeled shoes. In this room, I'm going to be a woman, not a party comrade.
Darling, you are a woman.
The proles can do it. Why shouldn't I?
The proles are allowed to be human beings. We're not. It's with them the hope lies.
What time did they cut the lights off at your flat?
23:30.
Got an hour. Well, let's lie down and listen to the free radio first.
As if we were here forever.
Mm-hmm.
Switch on.
Right.
One did not know it already, the general structure of oceanic society. At the apex of the pyramid comes Big Brother. Big Brother is infallible and all-powerful. Every success, every achievement, every victory, every scientific discovery, all knowledge, all wisdom, all happiness, all virtue are held to issue directly from his leadership and inspiration. Below Big Brother comes the inner party. Its numbers limited to 6 millions, or something less than 2% of the population of Oceania. Below the inner party comes the outer party, which, if the inner party is described as the brain of the state, may be justly likened to the hands. Below that come the dumb masses, whom we habitually refer to as the proles, numbering perhaps 85% of the population. All beliefs, habits, tastes, emotions, mental attitudes that characterize our time are really designed to sustain the mystique of the party and prevent the true nature of present-day society from being perceived. Even the names of the four ministries by which we are governed exhibit a sort of impudence in their deliberate reversal of the facts. The ministry of truth with lies, the ministry of love with torture, and the ministry of plenty with starvation. These contradictions are not accidental. They are deliberate exercises in double think. The proles can be granted intellectual liberty because they have no intellect. But a party member lives from birth to death under the eye of the thought police. Even when he is alone, he can never be sure he is alone. Wherever he may be, asleep or awake, working or resting, in his bath or in his bed, he can be inspected without warning and without knowing that he is being inspected.
Hey!
What is
nothing
it?
Get out of filthy brute!
Is indifferent. What was it?
A rat.
Friendship seems relaxing. A rat.
I want to see his beastly nose out of the wainscoting. There's a hole down there. I gave him a good fright, anyway.
for rat in our room.
You know, they're all over the place. We've even got them in the kitchen at the hostel. Some parts of London are swarming with them. Did you know they attack children?
Please, please.
They do. Dear. Well, you've gone quite pale. What's the matter? Do they make you feel sick?
Of all horrors in the world, rat.
You're trembling.
I'm sorry, it's nothing. I just don't like rats, that's all.
Don't worry, dear. Well, we're not going to have the filthy brutes in here. I'll stuff the hole with a bit of sacking before I go, and next time I come here, I'll bring some plaster and bung it up properly.
When will that be?
Oh, in another week or so. You know, we must be more careful. I mean, this is our third visit here in 2 months. We haven't done badly. Mustn't spoil it. You all right now?
Yes, I'm all right now.
I'll make some real coffee.
Julia.
Yes, dear?
You heard what Goldstein was saying?
Yes.
Has it ever occurred to you that the best thing for us to do would be simply to walk out of here before it's too late and never see each other again?
Yes, dear, it has occurred to me several times. But I'm not going to do it all the same.
As you said, we've been lucky. We can't last much longer. You're young, yet. You look normal and innocent. If you keep dear of people like me, you might stay alive for another 50 years.
No, I've thought it all out. What you do, I do. And don't be downhearted. I'm rather good at staying alive. But we must be careful.
We may be together for another 6 months, a year. There's no knowing, but at the end, we're certain to be apart. Do you realize how utterly alone we shall be? When once they get hold of us, there'll be nothing, literally nothing, that either of us can do for the other. If I confess, they'll shoot you. If I refuse to confess, they'll shoot you just the same. Nothing that I can do or say or stop myself saying will put off your death for as much as 5 minutes. Neither of us will even know whether the other is alive or dead. We'll be utterly without power of any kind. Julia, the one thing that matters is that we should not betray one another. Although even that can't make the slightest difference.
If you mean confessing, we shall do that right enough. Everybody always confesses. You can't help it.
No,
they torture you.
I don't mean confessing. Confession is not betrayal. What you say or do doesn't matter. Only feelings matter. Julia, if they could make me stop loving you, that would be the real betrayal.
They can't do that. It's the one thing they can't do. They can make you say anything, anything. But they can't make you believe it. They can't get inside you.
No, that's quite true. They can't get inside you. If you can feel you're staying human, it's worthwhile. Even when it can't have any result whatsoever. You've beaten them.
Darling.
Yes.
Do you remember that first day in the wood?
Forever.
Seems years ago. It's only months. Oh, it would be nice to go back to before.
Before?
We are the dead.
We are the dead.
You are the dead.
It came from behind that picture.
It came from behind this picture. Remain exactly where you are. Make no movement until you are ordered.
They can see us.
We can see you. Stand out in the middle of the room. Stand back to back. Clasp your hands behind your head, but do not touch one another.
The house is surrounded.
The house is surrounded.
I suppose we may as well say goodbye.
We may as well say goodbye. See them.
Julia!
You'll never see her again.
Mr. Charrington.
Of the Fourth Police. By the way, where's your toy? Ah, here we are. You never found out how it finished, did you? Ah, well, you'll soon know. Oranges and lemons, say the bells of St. Clement. You owe me 5 farthings, say the bells of St. Martin. When will you pay me, say the bells of Old Bailey? When I grow rich, say the bells of Shoreditch. Here comes a candle to light you to bed. Here comes a chopper to chop off your head.
Embezzlement of public funds, sale of military secrets, sabotage, thought crime, face crime, own life.
In the face of pain, there are no heroes. No heroes. Of pain, you can wish only one thing. That it would stop. The body of that skull.
Talking in my sleep, but it answered you. Ah,
That's the cheerful side of it. It was my little daughter.
Your precious.
She listened at the keyhole, heard what I was saying, snipped off to the patrols the very next day. I'm pretty smart for a kiddie of 7, eh? I'm proud of her. Shows I brought her up in the right spirit. Anyway.
They got you, too.
They got me a long time ago. You knew this, Winston. Now, don't deceive yourself.
Do you think we're going to get off?
Shut up! Guard, take Parsons next door and smash his jaw.
No!
Now, Winston, you're in my keeping. Do you know where you are?
Oh, Brian. I don't know. I can guess. In the cellars of the Ministry of Love.
Do you know how long you've been here?
I don't know. Days, weeks, months. I think it's months.
And why do you imagine that we bring people to this place?
To make them confess.
No, that is not the reason. Try again.
Punish them?
No, no, no. To cure them. To cure you. To make you sane. We do not merely destroy our enemies. We change them. Do you understand what I mean by that?
No.
Don't worry, Winston, you will. I shall save you. I shall make you perfect. First, I want you to watch your so-called human nature in action. You remember Syme, the bold dictioneer? This is it. His tongue is so swollen he can't talk, but with a full belly of wind he can scream, can't you? We've got something special for you in room 101.
Comrade, officer, general, you don't have to take me to that place. I told you everything already. What else is it you want to know? Nothing. I wouldn't confess. Nothing. Write it down and I'll sign it. Anything but not room 101.
Room 101.
Do anything, Gilbert. You've been starving me for weeks. Finish it off and let me die. Shoot me. Hang me. But not room 101.
Room 101.
Smith, the one you want to be taking, not me. He's the one that attends the party. Not me.
Take him away. He's not worthy of room 101. You see, Winston, that is human nature. But don't worry. You are a very special case. I will take a lot of trouble with you. And now let us go and see the doctor. We have some splendid drugs for a case like yours. That was faulty. If you open your eyes, that's better. You can see that the numbers on this dial run up to 100. So will you please remember throughout our conversation that I have it in my power to inflict pain on you at any moment and to whatever degree I choose. Do you understand that?
Yes. I understand.
I'm taking trouble with you, Winston, because you are worth trouble. You know perfectly well what is the matter with you. You are mentally deranged. You suffer from a defective memory. Even now, I'm well aware you're clinging to your disease under the impression that it is a virtue. Now, we will take an example. At this moment, which power is Oceania at war with?
When I was arrested, Oceania was at war with Eastasia.
With Eastasia. Good, good. And Oceania has always been at war with Eastasia, has it not? Now, don't look at the dial. The truth, please, Winston. Your truth. Now, tell me what you think you remember.
I remember. Not until only a week before I was arrested. We were not at war with these Teleser at all. We were in alliance with them. The war was against Eurasia. That had lasted 4 years. Before that,
we have never been at war with Eurasia.
We have. I remember it. You remember.
I do not remember it. There is a party slogan dealing with the control of the past. Repeat it, if you please.
Who controls the past, controls the future. Who controls the present, controls the past.
Good, good. Is it your opinion, Winston, that the past has real existence?
Yes.
And where does the past exist, if at all?
In records. It's written down.
In records and...
In the mind. In human memories.
In memory. Very well, then. We, the party, control all records. And we control all memories. Then we control the past, do we not?
But how can you stop people remembering things? It's involuntary. It's outside oneself. How can you control memory? You've not controlled mine.
On the contrary, you have not controlled it, and that is what has brought you here. You must humble yourself before you can become sane. Now, let us start. How many fingers am I holding up, Winston?
Four.
And if the party says it is not four, but five, then how many?
Four.
How many fingers, Winston?
Four. What else can I think? Four.
How many fingers, Winston?
Four. Stop it. How many? Four.
How many fingers, Winston?
Five.
No, Winston, that is no use. You are lying. You still think there are four. Now, how many fingers,
four.
Please?
Five. Four. Anything I can do. Stop it. Hey.
Very well. Oh, you are a slow learner, Winston. Now rest a while. You must understand that in this place there are no martyrdoms. All the confessions that are uttered here are true. We make them true. You must stop imagining that posterity will vindicate you. Posterity will never even hear of you. You will never have existed.
Then why torture me?
You are a flaw in the pattern, Winston. You're a stain that must be wiped out. What happens to you here is forever. We shall squeeze you empty, and then we shall fill you with ourselves. But when finally you surrender to us, it must be of your own free will, you understand?
Stop!
How many fingers, Winston?
Four! I will define my God! I'm trying to see five!
If you wish to persuade me that you see five or really see them. Again, then, how many fingers, Winston?
I can't go!
Better, better. Now, look me in the eyes. What country is Oceania at war with?
I don't remember.
Oceania is at war with East Asia. Do you remember that now?
Yes.
Oceania has always been at war with East Asia. Since the beginning of your life, since the beginning of the party, since the beginning of history, the war has continued without a break. Always the same war. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Just now I held up the fingers of my hand to you. You saw five fingers. Do you remember that?
Yes.
I hold up my left hand with thumb concealed. There are five fingers there. Do you see them?
Yes. I saw them. I see them.
You see now that it is at any rate possible. Good. We progress. I enjoy talking to you, Winston. Your mind appeals to me. It resembles my own, except that you happen to be insane. Well, now, before we bring this session to a close, you can ask me a few questions if you choose.
What have you done with Julia?
Oh, she betrayed you, Winston. Immediately. Unreservedly. I have seldom seen anyone come over to us so promptly. All her rebelliousness, her deceit, her folly, her dirty-mindedness, everything has been burned out of her. It was the perfect conversion, the textbook case.
You tortured her.
Next question.
Does Goldstein exist?
I don't know.
You read his book?
I wrote it.
What is in room 101?
You know what is in room 101, Winston. Everyone knows in their heart what is in room 101. Now, any more questions?
No.
Then, we meet in a few weeks' time. I hope you'll do your homework. And, Winston, don't upset the guards. They're rather a rough lot. I wouldn't like to think that you upset. There are three stages in your reintegration. There is learning, there is understanding, and there is acceptance. It is time for you to enter upon the second stage. As you lie there, you've often wondered, you've even asked me, why the Ministry of Love should expend so much time and trouble on you. And when you were free, you were puzzled by what was essentially the same question. You could grasp the mechanics of the society you lived in, but not its motives. You understand well enough how the party machine maintained itself in power. Now tell me why we cling to power.
You are ruling over us for our own good. You believe that human beings are not fit to govern themselves, and therefore...
That was stupid, Winston, stupid. You should know better than to say a thing like that. I will tell you. The party seeks power entirely for its own sake. We are not interested in the good of others. We are interested solely in power. Not wealth or luxury, a long life or happiness, only power, pure power. Power is not a mean, it is an end. One does not establish a dictatorship in order to safeguard a revolution. One makes the revolution in order to establish the dictatorship. The object of persecution is persecution. The object of torture is torture. And the object of power is power. Now do you begin to understand me? If you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever. You are beginning, I can see, to realize what the world will be like. But in the end, you'll do more than understand it. You will accept it. Welcome it. Become part of it.
You can't.
What do you mean by that remark, Winston?
You could not create such a world as you described. It's a dream. It's impossible. There's something in the universe. I don't know, some spirit, some principle that you will never overcome.
Do you believe in God, Winston?
No.
Then what is it, this principle that will defeat us?
I don't know. The spirit of man.
And you consider yourself a man?
Yes.
If you are a man, Winston, you are the last man. You are the guardian of the human spirit. You shall see yourself as you are. Since you joined us, you've not seen a mirror, have you? Now look here, look in this mirror. And look at the condition that you're in. Look at this filthy grime all over your body. Do you know that you've lost 25 kilograms? Even your hair's coming out in handfuls. Look! Now open your mouth. 9, 10, 11 teeth left. And how many had you when you came in here, And the few you have left are dropping out of your head. You are rotting away. You're falling to pieces. What are you? You're a bag of filth. Do you see that thing facing you? That is the last man. If you were human, that is humanity. But it won't last forever. You can escape from it whenever you choose. Everything depends on yourself. You did it. You reduced me to the snake. No, Winston. You reduced yourself to it. This is what you accepted when you set yourself up against the party. It was all contained in that first act in the fields of Percy Wood.
You
you about that?
I told you she betrayed you. If it had been merely rutting, it wouldn't have been very serious. But you took that woman as an act of defiance. Defiance against the party. It was a political, not a sexual act. And it has brought you to this fate. We have beaten you, Winston. We have broken you up. You see what your body is like. Your mind is in the same state. Now, can you think of a single degradation that has not happened to you?
Yes. I have not betrayed Julia.
Yes, that is perfectly true. You have not betrayed Julia. Yet. Guard, prepare room 101.
Cease to struggle, Winston. You can't move, not even your head, so relax. Now, you asked me once what was in room 101, and I told you that you knew the answer already. Everyone knows it. The thing that is in room 101 is the worst thing in the world. The worst thing in the world varies from individual to individual, but in your case, the worst thing in the world happens to be rats.
No, no, not that.
Now, let me show you this cage.
You can't do that. You could. It'd be impossible.
It was a common punishment in Imperial China. You understand the construction of this cage? The mask will fit over your head, leaving no exit. When I press this lever, the door of the cage will slide up. These starving brutes will shoot out of it like bullets. Have you ever seen a rat leap through the air? They will leap onto your face and bore straight into it. Sometimes they attack the eyes first, and sometimes they burrow through the cheeks and devour the tongue.
Junior! Junior! Junior, not me! Tear the face off! Give it to the birds! I don't care what you do, you're not me! Not me!
Thank you, Winston.
They let you go, too.
Yes.
It's worse.
Yes.
Drink up, sir. There's another bottle.
Oh, thank you. You're very kind.
Very kind. I betrayed you. Sometimes they threaten you with something you can't stand up to, can't even think about.
What was yours?
You are warned to stand by for an important announcement at 15:30. This is news of the highest importance. Take care not to miss it. 15:30.
They've given me my job back. I go in when I like.
What was yours?
Do a little work from time to time when I feel like it.
I do a little work when I feel like it. If we could only get control of Africa, if we could drive them down into the Sea of the Cape, we could then cut them in two. We would rule the whole world. What was yours?
Something you can't stand up to. And then you say, don't do it to me. Do it to somebody else. Do it to so-and-so. Perhaps you might pretend afterwards it was only a trick and that you just said it to make them stop and didn't really mean it. That isn't true. At the time when it happens, you really do mean it.
You do mean it. What was yours?
Jane, think there's no other way of saving yourself. You're quite ready to save yourself that way. You want it to happen to the other person. Don't give a damn what you suffer. All you care about is yourself.
All you care about is yourself. What was yours?
I forget. And after that, you don't feel the same towards the other person any longer.
You don't feel the same. We must meet again.
Of course. Must meet again. Bye.
Goodbye.
Attention, comrades. We have glorious news for you. We have won the battle for production. Returns now completed of the output of all classes of consumption goods show that the standard of living has risen by no less than 20% over the past year. All over Airstrip 1 this morning, there were irrepressible spontaneous demonstrations when workers marched out of factories and offices and paraded through the streets with banners, voicing their gratitude to Big Brother for the new, happy life which his wise leadership has bestowed upon us. The first results, which will be effective as from tomorrow morning, are that the tobacco ration is increased to 100 grams a week, and the chocolate ration to 20 grams a week. That's all, comrades.
We have won. We have won. Big Brother will rule the world. How can I misunderstand? How could I question?
Oh, needless the misunderstanding. The stubborn self-exile from the loving breast.
But it's all right.
It's the long run at the last gasp. Everything is all right. The struggle is finished. I have conquered myself. I have won the victory. I love Big Brother.
In 1984, by George Orwell, adapted for broadcasting by Eric Ewens, the part of Winston Smith was played by Patrick Troughton, Julia Brown by Sylvia Sims, and O'Brien by John Collins. Goldstein was played by Cyril Schatz, Charrington by Hector Ross, The Old Man by Norman Wynn, and Syme by Alan McClelland. TV announcer Michael McLean, Parsons John Durst, Mrs. Parsons Cecile Chevreau, Gwenda, Mary Wimbush, Ampleforth, Gordon Faith, and the children, Elizabeth Proud and Brian Hewlett. The recorded production was by John Gibson.